publishing since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1307. This is Danny Pena, and joining me for this special episode, and this has been a long time coming. We've done recording before, but with a group, not one-on-one. So this is the first time we recorded this together. We have Brittany here from What's Good Games. Britt, what's
Woo-hoo!
Up?
About time, man.
Yo, it's been years in the making.
And this is a perfect game for us to join forces and talk about.
Yes. So everybody, we're going to be talking about Alan Wake 2. We got some hands-on impressions here. Also, later in the show, I have a recording, one-on-one interview with the legend Sam Lake from Remedy Games. And also, later in the show, sorry, Brittany, Paris is going to be joining us here for our NVIDIA sponsor segment. We're going to be talking about DLSS 3.5 and Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty and all that. So make sure to tune in. That's going to be later.
Danny, that's really cool. But why do you keep him around? He is the embodiment of a bad take.
Wow. Wow. Anything else you want to say besides that?
Oh, I mean, I got lots, but I don't think we want to make that the focus of this show. Okay. But I said what I said and I'm sticking to it.
So there you go, Paris. So that was a message straight from Brittany to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. But everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. That only takes like a couple seconds. It's super quick. Come on, guys. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Britt, very quick, you want to promote What's Good? If anybody would like to check out the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Okay, yeah, so What's Good Games, it comes out every Friday. It's me, it's Andrea Renee, and most importantly, it's Rihanna, your beautiful, beautiful wife.
Oh, yes.
And the mother of your future baby.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, so exciting. Oh, but yeah, we release shows every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, and we talk about hands-on with games we've been playing. We talk about the news. Sometimes we get up to shenanigans. Generally, Andrea and I are drinking and going off on rants. It's a fun time.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Fun time, Danny.
That's good. That's good. I know last time I was there, we were talking about butts. That was a great conversation.
Oh, that was such a, oh my God, that was a whirlwind.
Yes.
That was for, what was our Game of the Year so far episode, I think.
Yes, and I think there was a picture of Yoshi. It was like a fat Yoshi. And I did like the little look, looking at his butt.
Little look, and I still have that screenshot, and I've been meaning to send that to you and Ree for like ever now. But yeah, it's a, you did a perfect impression of Yoshi looking.
I tried. You know, it was difficult too with the gaming chair, but I made it happen.
Oh, you've had some practice, I can tell, Danny.
Oh, well, thank you. So, Brittany, so the reason why I wanted to record this episode, because I know online we always talk about horror games. I'm a huge fan of horror games. I know you are too, and we always talk about like Layers of Fear. I know you're a big fan also of Resident Evil.
Yes.
But you know, one game that I'm very excited about, and this is the first time that this is considered now a horror now, is Alan Wake 2. So I don't know if you ever played Part 1 or not.
I played the first Alan Wake for the first time about 4 months ago. The very, very first time, because I'd always wanted to, but for some reason, I don't know how it eluded me, but it did. And then finally, I was like, this is unacceptable. With all the hype leading up to Alan Wake 2, I finally decided to jump in. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the gameplay, in my opinion, is just a little dated. You know, it's not the most fun combat, and there's no progression at all, hardly any. And so, but the narrative was so good. That narrative just, it messes with you, right? And so that's why I was so excited that I had played it. So when this preview event came up, I was able to hop into it and really appreciate, I think, all of the changes mm-hmm. that Remedy is taking with this.
Yeah, and the thing is, the last game was like, what, over 13 years ago?
Yeah.
I know there was, I played every Remedy game because I'm a huge fan of the studio, you know, when it comes to with Max Payne, Alan Wake, America's Nightmare. That's a DLC. Well, not a DLC. It was like a smaller game that came out for Xbox Live Arcade during the 360 era. Control? You try out Control?
Yes. Played some Control. I played Quantum Break, too.
Quantum Break also. I forgot I mentioned that, too. So, you know, I've been excited ever since the announcement, and we got to the event. First of all, I love the venue, the way how they... The theme of the game, it was really, really cool. Also, you got to try out the drinks that they had too at the event, or what?
Oh yeah, that was hands down one of the coolest preview events I've ever been to.
Yeah,
I mean, just like you said, there's graffiti all over the wall. Every cubicle that we were gaming in had walls that surrounded the area, but it had, you know, like case notes pinned to it, like you're solving a case. And mm-hmm. then there's people walking around serving us drinks. You know, and it was all themed. So it was the Oh Dear Diner. And there were people walking around from the Cult of the Tree in these creepy deer masks just lurking the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. Really cool. So now, as a person that just got into Alan Wake later, do you see yourself playing? Actually, in the beginning of the game, you're going to start off as Saga Anderson. She's a new character that's in the game. And also, there's a way for you also to play Alan Wake. So, do you see yourself playing as Saga as first or Alan, or you're going to be switching around here and there during the game? Because for me, I think, because it's been so long for me, I think it will be great to start off with Saga just to learn more about the lore and things they're going to be finding out. And I just love... And I just love her character in the game. And it's all her part. It's more like mystery compared to things that you do with Alan Wake. But I just want to hear your thoughts about this, you know, which one of the two characters you're going to pick out of the two.
Yeah. So what was really cool about this demo is that we had two parts of it we got to play. One was, the Saga Anderson part. Mm-hmm. And then one was called Room 665, which is the Alan Wake segment. And what I really loved about the Saga segment, and that was the first thing we started with, is it was definitely, like you said, more mystery. It had more of that pretty, like, easy to understand survival horror mechanics to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of Resident Evil influences in there. And I loved how it reminded me so much more of the original Alan Wake, but just much more expanded, right? You know, in the first one you start off, you're at the Oh Dear Diner, right? And you kind of get all that environmental storytelling. And that's one of my favorite parts of that game, is just that initial area. Mm-hmm. And then here you have this town called Watery. It's called Watery, right? The town mm-hmm. of Watery in the Pacific Northwest, which is where everything else takes place. And it's this whole town that you get to wander around and explore, and you just kind of get to build this world and take in the details and take in what you want to. And it was cool for me. It reminded me a lot of where I live, the Pacific Northwest, because obviously this game takes place there. But, you know, it's like the gray skies, the water, the people, the trees, the birds, the sounds. It was really cool to actually play a game that so perfectly represented like my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I just love getting to talk to everybody and just kind of learning what this town is. And then as you progress, you know, you start going into fights against the Taken. And now the combat seems much more fleshed out, it's much more fun, I think, this time around. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, I don't want to get too far ahead, but, you know, there's this theme park that you come across called Coffee World, and it's so creepy, and like that stuff is what I really love, really easy to pick up and play and wrap your head around. Whereas the Alan Wake segment, that was kind of a mind bender for me.
Oh, very, very.
Dude, right? Not only do you have all the craziness of something you would expect from a game like Control, but it was just hard because of where they placed us in the demo. You know, you have these new mechanics at your disposal, like the angel lamp. And I couldn't wrap my head around that for the life of me. And there's so much going on. So I think, long story short, Saga first. And then I think as I feel more like daring, I'll hop into the Alan Wake stuff.
Yeah. So I know people probably never played the first Alan Wake. So Alan Wake is from New York City. So I know when he released his book before he went out of town with his wife, he released a book. He had a book series about Alice Casey. He's a detective, mm-hmm. right? So at the time when that game came out, people were saying, oh, this is just saying, like, this is going to be the end of Max Payne. Remedy's going to move on, and, you know, with Alan Wake and so on, right? So when I got to see Alice Casey, the books, and I look at it, it has, like, the similar layout and text exactly like Max Payne, right? So fast forward to this version of the game, right, Alan Wake 2, and I'm playing it. I'm like, oh, my God, he's in New York City. You see Alice Casey posters all over the game, all over. You see in the subway. You see it, like, in the streets. Also, I don't know if you noticed this. There's a graffiti that it'll say Scratch. Have you got to see that
yes!
in the game? Okay. So he's also a character that's in the previous games, too, which is all connected in the same, you know, Remedy universe and everything like that. But I'm very, very curious. And I want to know, like, how creepy is it going to get later in the game, because that level was very dark, and like you said, it was messing up my mind big time. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is very, very intense. I think with Saga, it was more of like you said, Resident Evil puzzles, you know, like, you'll find some items, you gotta put the puzzle together to unlock, like, certain things. Like, I love that part too, but I just love also the dark, grimy streets of New York City, like the Alan Wake level, you know. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
you're gonna say something?
Yeah, no, I'm just totally with you. And I mean, I will even say too, the Saga stuff was it was pretty creepy. Again, like, her segment very much leaned on the environmental storytelling, but even the Taken this time around, mm-hmm. they're more twitchy and they have much more distorted voices and they move so fast. And I think even one of them, it was like glistening muscle or burnt skin or something. Terrifying. And there was even a dog or a wolf in there, too. I mean, I thought her segment was pretty freaky in its own right. And, you know, like, granted, I don't really get scared when it comes to, like, Resident Evil survival horror stuff because, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. That's ingrained into my brain. But even me, I was unsettled playing that. And I loved going off the beaten path and, you know, finding puzzles and you know, different supplies and stuff like that was great. But yes, the Alan Wake segment in the Ocean View Hotel, it's a hotel. So obviously it's just going to be scary no matter what. And I got a lot more Remedy and some kind of Silent Hill vibes from that segment of it. Mm-hmm. And the hotel is just creepy in itself. And there's that whole cool thing you can do. So obviously Saga has the mind place, right? That's like where you go into her head and she can solve puzzles and stuff like that. But then you have Alan's writer room. And this is where you can go, and we can probably talk about this whenever you're ready, because it's a whole thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So, yeah, Saga's mind place, I'm sure you've talked about it on the show many times, but it's, you know, it's where she can go and, like, put clues together, and she can profile people and, you know, progress in the case. But Alan's room, by contrast, it's so dark and cold in there, you know, and when you click, so basically you just push a button, you can instantly travel to his brain. But you have this plot board, and on there you can add scenes and plot elements from things you've discovered while playing, and you can completely manipulate and change the scenery around you. So maybe what's first is a plain and simple rehearsal room, you can add a haunted element to it or a demon element to it. And now there's blood everywhere. There's mentions of Scratch and there's some sort of ritual happening. And you're like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the name of the item where, here's the thing with me. I played a little bit with Alan Wake, but then I had to do the interview with Sam. So by the time I went back, I couldn't finish Alan Wake's demo. So uh-huh. I know there's a part in the game where you have an item and you're switching also, I don't know, I could say like universe or whatever. Yeah. What is that? That's what it
that's
is?
That's the angel lamp. So this is, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
This is the new item. So essentially what happens is there are predetermined areas throughout Alan Wake's level where he can walk with this lamp and essentially trap the light from a lamp post, for example. Uh-huh. And then you can maintain several charges in your lamp. And then you can use that to manipulate certain areas around you. And you'll know if you can because you'll get a button prompt. Mm-hmm. But yeah, essentially, it just changes your surroundings. So you'll walk into a room and you'll use the angel. Oh, actually, a good example of this. You must have gotten this far. when you're trying to unlock the entrance to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got closer yeah. there, and then I had to go to do an interview.
Okay, so yeah, there's a segment where you have to unlock the entrance to the hotel. And to do that, you know, again, a lot of environmental storytelling includes you have to look at, it's like an advertisement board for a coffee shop or something. And you see on that that there's clearly like a clue to the lock solution that you need to get in the hotel. So as you walk around a little bit, you'll see a coffee shop, but you can't get into it because it's all desecrated and there's stuff blocking the entrance. But if you use the angel lamp, because you have a charge in there, mm-hmm. you can shine light on the coffee shop and suddenly you're teleported inside of it. And there you can look at like the menu board and figure out what the combination is. So it's good for progressing, and it's also great for puzzle progression as well. It was an interesting mechanic, but it was a little complicated and confusing at first because I didn't quite understand what it was I was supposed to do with it, because it seems a little overwhelming. Like, can I change everything around me or only this part and that part? Yeah. And also there was a small little glitch on my screen, so I couldn't tell that I had charges saved up. So I didn't know I had charges. But once the person helped me, I was like, okay, this makes more sense. But I think it's just the sort of thing that we need to spend time with.
Yeah, and also there's... in the game, you could also go to certain areas where you could switch from Saga to Alan. So I know in the beginning of the demo, they told us, don't switch to Alan. And I switched by mistake.
Oh, you did?
I did. I'm like, oops. So I had to like restart the whole game all over. I'm like, oh my God. So because it wasn't ready for that. It was just like, you know. Yeah, yeah. But, and I agree with you. Funny. I think, you know, coming from playing the original Alan Wake, to me, that one was more of like, go to like a light area, use my flashlight. It was very fast paced. I might find some items. I don't have to read it there. I could read it later. But with this, it's more slow paced. You have to take your time, look for some items. It's very important to read these items that you find too, because it's going to be helpful for your investigation or the stuff that you do later with Alan. Like, this, I like this style, because with horror games, it's supposed to be like that. It shouldn't be like a fast-paced game, because then how is that considered a horror game? You get what I'm saying? Right. So like when you mention Resident Evil, Layers of Fear, even PT, all those games are very slow-paced. Like, you take your time walking around, looking for some items, solving some puzzles. And I'm okay with that. I know people are going to be comparing a lot, like, oh, it's not as fast as the first game, but I'm okay with this. What about you? You're okay with this?
Oh, absolutely. The first Alan Wake had a fantastic narrative, but I feel like from a gameplay perspective, it kind of lacked an identity. Like, what kind of game is this? Mm-hmm. You know, is it a shooter? Is it survival horror? What is it? There's no progression. It was a whole thing. But now I think it's so clear just from what we've played that Remedy has a vision and they have that identity and they know what they're going for. And what's so cool about having Saga segment and Alan segment is while it's the same game, I feel like you're going to get two very different experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so, so cool. And what I really, really loved about Saga segment is, in fact, I had to have a lovely gameplay demo person tell me, like, hey, can you like get back on track? Because you're going too far off the beaten path. I was finding side roads and just going down them. And I was finding puzzles and I was figuring out the solutions to it. And I was really immersing myself in it. And I was like, this is so great. Like, this is exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to Resident Evil. I mean, Remedy has said, like, obviously that's a huge inspiration. Look how successful that franchise has become. You heard that right, Paris. Successful.
There you go.
You're successful. But anyway, yeah. Just seeing how they've taken that survival horror formula and really added their own twist to it. In their own element, like the investigation stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's a perfect marriage.
Do you remember, well, I know you started with Saga. Do you went to the bar, inside the bar?
Maybe. Was that where there was like the person singing?
Okay. Do you know who that person is?
No.
He's the janitor. I think his name is Ati from Control.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So again, all connected, because I asked this question to Sam. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that the janitor from the beginning, you know, the game of Control? So he's the one that tells you where to go right in the beginning of the game, because nobody's in the building, you're walking around and everything like that. So in the game, I think there's like side quests that you do with them. And once you complete those side missions, you get a card of him saying he's leaving on vacation. He's actually going to that location where he's at now in the game of Alan Wake 2.
See, this is what's so cool about this is this whole, and this is why I love talking to you, Danny, because yeah. I know you know this stuff like the back of your hand. Mm-hmm. All of this is so beyond me. This is just one of those franchises where I'm just so new to Alan Wake and I've casually played Control and Quantum Break. But knowing it's all so intertwined and connected is so mm-hmm. freaking cool to me. And I know, you know, Sam Lake was saying, yeah, like this game is for everybody. You know, you don't mm-hmm. have to have played the other games to really get it. But like when you mentioned those sort of references, I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have known. I love that stuff. I love that. And it's so cool to me. And I love playing. And I was looking at all the posters, like you said, of Alex Casey. And there's all these Thomas Zane references. And then, oh my God. I'm really curious, though, to know how they're going to explain certain things like Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you do hear Alan at one point walk into a room and he was like, yeah, Scratch was here. I can feel his presence. But that's a whole complicated thing. So I'm assuming they'll cover that at some point. But
yeah, I think so, too. Because here's the thing, whatever Alan writes, it comes true.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, I know we get to see Alex Casey with Saga. Is he just something that just came out of nowhere because of Alan?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a lot of questions. It's like, is he real? What? Because there's even trailers that you see Alex Casey, like, kind of like fighting with against Alan, you know, like it looked like they were like an argument, you know, something like that. So I don't know, I have a lot of questions. Is he real? Is he fake? Is he just came out because of the writing of Alan, you know? So
yeah, so we know The Dark Place, right, is based off of Alan's subconscious. Mm-hmm. And then the book he's writing, Return, is also influenced by the dark presence, mm-hmm. but it's also him that's writing it. So I'll never forget when we were at Summer Game Fest and we saw Alex Casey pop up. I was like, what? Has he always existed? Mm-hmm. Or what's happening? And another interesting example, I think, of how this plays out is in the very beginning of Saga segment, she runs into these brothers, and their name's escaping me right now. The Koleski brothers?
Oh, they're right in the beginning of the demo.
The Koskela brothers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she walks up to them, and you know she's never been there a day in her life, but they see her, and they're like, oh, Saga, so good to see you. It's so great to see you. Long time no see, blah, 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 blah. And she says to herself, people keep acting like they've known me for years. This must be the horror novel. So it's going to be so interesting. And I hope I can wrap my mind around all of it.
You know, it would be crazy. What happened if Alan also created her?
Oh, fuck.
Is that something possible, too?
Yes.
Because
it absolutely is.
Because how everybody knows her name.
How does everyone know her? That's what makes the most. That makes the most sense.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions.
Oh, see, then your brain starts going places, and it gets so meta.
yeah. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brent. Like, it's hard to find games like that where, mm-hmm. besides having all the connections and everything like that, but also one of the actors. That was in the main actor. He was in Quantum Break, the main, I forgot his name. He was at the event. He's in the game too. So so I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, so all these people that
Sean
we got
Ashmore
to see. Sean Ashmore. Okay. So all these people that we got to see in previous Remedy games,
coming
here too. So like, how's that connected? Again, is that part of Alan's work? Or what, you know, so.
Well, yeah, and then you start thinking about, and you would be better at answering this than I am, but mm-hmm. I know there's somewhere in the Remedy universe, right, there's like a bunch of doors that lead into different like universes and games and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. is what happened, one of those doors open, and now like Sean Ashmore, Jack Joyce, I think was his name, like comes in, and now is his name Jack Joyce in Quantum Break?
Jack, let me see, Jack.
Is it Jack? I think it. I can't remember.
Quantum.
That was
Break.
So. It is Jack Joyce. Okay.
Yeah, I looked it up. Yep. You're right. Yep,
but yeah. Joyce. Like, you know, is he leaking through into this universe now? I mean, when I opened that door and I saw him, and I haven't seen Sean Ashmore as a character since Quantum Break, my mind was like, wait a minute, is this who I think it is? And then he came out on stage. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, because even if you play Quantum Break, there is writings. There is Easter eggs of Alan Wake in the game. Like, there's one part where I think he goes to like a university, And
And
if you look at the board from the class, the one of the classrooms there, right, you'll see stuff of Alan Wake there. And I'm like, wait, what? Oh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's other stuff too. And also in Alan Wake, there is the TV series that you could also unlock in the game. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, is that available here? Because I didn't get to see it.
Oh, God, what was the show called?
Hold on. It's been a while.
I'm trying to remember.
Night Springs,
yeah.
Yeah, so, because I know there was option. Again, we didn't have the option to play it, but there was a lot of TVs in certain sections in the mm-hmm. demo where maybe in the retail version, I could just play it and maybe they'll show something of Night Spring. Because that was something that was really cool to see in the original game. I collected all of them. All the TV shows.
I loved watching those. Yeah, I don't know if Night Springs is in, but I did come across a fun video. It was of the brothers that we were just talking about, the ones that founded Coffee World. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it, and I love those little FMV clips they have. And they were so funny, and they were doing like a promotion or something for their theme park. And I remember just watching that for the first like 15 minutes. I went through everything and watched it. I was like, oh my God, these are so good. And I love just those extra steps. And, you know, maybe people will never see these, but they're there if you do find them. And it just really lends itself again to that world building that Remedy is just so good for. And I just can't wait to hop into this thing and just, I'm going to get mind boinked. My mind is going to be blown and I'm not going to understand half of probably anything that's happening. So I will be texting you a lot, Dan.
Oh, yeah. We could definitely talk. And you know what? I'll go to the show, podcast,
yeah.
What's Good. And we could talk more about it. Once the game releases, we could spoilers, whatever, you know, so that would be good. I would love to do that. Yeah. So, were you surprised to see Janina Gamacard also part of the cast? I was very surprised. I was not expecting when they announced it during the panel, the one that Andrew was moderating.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I definitely was. I mean, like, that whole panel, that whole cast of characters was just so impressive, and I don't know. I really loved it. I don't know. We can talk about that panel, right?
We can talk.
And I mean, it was just so cool. And one of the questions I had for the whole panel was like, yo, when you're a voice actor in the game, this in depth and this, you know, mind boggling, how do you even know? Like, how much do you have to prepare for it? Is it all, you know, your voice team and your voice coach telling you what kind of emotion you're supposed to be feeling when you deliver these lines? Because I could never wrap my head around that. I think it is such a fascinating thing, and just props to them, because there's so much going on there, and even so much I don't think we as the players are supposed to know in the moment when these lines are delivered. But if you go back and you replay and you re-listen, you can pick up on little hints here and there, and they did such a fantastic job. Those actors are just so phenomenally talented.
Yeah. So there's two actors that plays Anna Wake. So there's the physical one that plays.
Yeah.
Ika, I believe it is. And what's the other guy? He's a voice actor too. Matthew. I can't remember his last name, but I think it's Matthew. But they both. So Matthew does the voice for Anna Wake. And Ika. Peretta. Mm-hmm. And Ika does the physical look of the characters. So yeah, it was cool seeing them, because one of the questions I asked during the panel, I asked Sam, like, hey Sam, like, first of all, I asked them, you know, was this decision, like, creating this game as a horror, was this while working part one, was it while working part two, Control, or after? And also I asked them, hey, who was the first cast member to get the news that Alan Wake 2 got the green light? And it was actually them, the people that play character. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. I think that's really cool. And I love this route, because Ika plays, oh my God, he has the perfect look for Alan. And I love how when you're playing it, you do get, again, a lot of those FMV scenes where it is the real actors and mm-hmm. they're doing the thing. And there's this one scene in particular, and I won't go into too much detail because I don't want to spoil it, but it's kind of like this party scene. Did you see this one?
No, I totally missed it.
You had to do your fancy interview. But yeah. No, like, there's this whole, like, montage. It takes place over the course of, like, an evening or something. But pretty much, Alan's just getting messed up with another character. And it was so well done. And I thought to myself, would this have the same impact if it was just, you know, CG? And I was like, probably not. It's really cool. I love how Remedy's always done that with their games, is add in the real actors. There's just so much to discover in this. And it's mm-hmm. we haven't really even talked about the plot board and how Alan can change you know, you can combine plot scenes and plot elements and change the entire scene around him, depending on whatever element, you know, you want to attach to it. That is so freaking cool. And I don't know, Dan, if you're even able to see this because of how far you got. But yeah, essentially, so like, for example, you know, Alan Wake walks into your room and you get this big splash screen as the player and it's like new scene, rehearsal room. And you're like, okay, cool. You can go to your plot board and now you can manipulate the rehearsal room depending on what plot elements you have found. So some of the plot elements that we found were a pre-rehearsal ritual. We also found the haunted element. And depending on, you know, which element you attach to that scene, you're going to get a completely different layout, new story beats, and you're going to be able to progress. And it was really cool to kind of mix and match and add those together and see what happens. And just the technical work that has to go into that, it's really cool. I just think this game is really going to blow minds and expectations. And if you are new to this Alan Wake series, like, play the first one. I think it's still good. But if you don't have the time, because listen, we're all like slammed with other games right now, you can hop into this one. I think it'll just be beautifully weird.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, Alan Wake 2 is going to be my last game that before our baby's going to be born that I'm excited about. You know, that I'm like, oh, I can't wait. It's going to be good. I mean, there's going to be other games, but this is the one that I'm like, I've been waiting for this for like 13 years. Like, I can't.
That
I can't
so
wait.
So cool. What a perfect little, you know, I'm not going to use the word send off, but mine actually was Resident Evil Village.
Oh, really? So, really?
Yeah, yeah. That just came out like 2 weeks, I think, before I had my kid. So it was perfect.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So here's another thing, Brittany. So I love in the original game, Alan Wake, where I just love the episodic part of the game. So when you do certain things, a very important song comes out in right? And then the credits is similar to, like, you know, when you're watching a TV show. I love that from the original, right? So when I was talking with Sam during Summer Game Fest, I asked him, are we gonna see that type of thing? Like, the stuff that I've seen so far, the presentation and the even the hands-on, we don't get to see that at all.
Yeah.
Like, how they're going to turn that into an episodic episode. And I just love that, because I remember when the first game came out, there was people that will finish the first episode and they have like kind of like a book club. They'll get together and talk about that episode. Yeah. Like in real life, they'll talk about that. Like, yeah. You know, and then every week they'll do another episode like that. So I can't wait to see that.
That's cool.
That, I can't wait to see that. And plus, again, Control had like a very important song that really highlighted the moment, like a very iconic moment in the game. But with Alan Wake, there was multiple of those things, not only towards the end, but also every time you finish an episode of Alan Wake, there's like a theme. And that's something that somebody asked about the soundtrack, and Sam and the team, they were like, no comment. They want to really surprise the crowd once they play it. But he was like, it's going to be better than the original. I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
So this was fun for me, because I just played Alan Wake for the first time a few months back. But my husband, Jason, he loves Poets of the Fall, which is obviously the band that plays, you know, music in a lot of these games. And I don't know if they do all of them or not, so I don't want to say that. But when I was playing and then the music started, you know, and when I was playing the first Alan Wake and I started listening, I'm like, wait, this is Poets of the Fall. And then I remembered that they were, you know, I think Sam Lake is childhood friends with one of the founders of the band or something. So it was really cool to be able to hear them, because I, you know, I've been listening to their music for years now, and I just never really quite put two and two together that they were in Alan Wake. So that's a whole nother level of excitement for me, is to hear what they come up with, because they're so good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. But anything else?
I can't wait.
Anything else, Brittany, about the game that, you know, as a Resident Evil fan, why are you super excited about this game for you?
Let me gather my thoughts here. Survival horror in general is, I think, an incredible genre. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks this, because look how amazing Resident Evil sells. Look how many people are excited for Alan Wake 2. Look at like Silent Hill. Like, it's a whole ass thing. But I think just seeing, you know, Remedy's had so much time away from Alan Wake, and since then, look at the bangers they've put out. Right, you got Control, Quantum Break. You have all of these games that explore some really fascinating mechanics that I don't think we've really seen before. And so now that they've had all this time, Alan Wake has been able to cook. The survival horror genre has kind of changed that landscape, right? They're able to take the staples of what I think makes a great survival horror game, but now add that Remedy twist to it. And the fact that they're making these two concurrent timelines that you can hop between, and they are very similar, but also they play very differently just based off of, you know, what you and I got to play. Mm-hmm. And I think the marriage of those two could just make for an incredible video game. The environmental storytelling from what I saw was like top tier. And that is my big thing. Like, that's the thing I get off on, Danny, is like, what story can I tell from this gift shop? And the puzzles I saw, you know, they weren't easy, but they weren't super difficult where you couldn't figure them out. But you definitely kind of had to apply your knowledge there and think outside the box and look around. And I'm excited that you can upgrade your weapons this time around, and you can, you know, you go to the case board or go to the mine place or go to Alan's mind and just figure out, like, what do I do here? I love that detective element of it. I'm excited to find all the VHS tapes. Like, there's so much going on in this game, and mm-hmm. I just want to find it all. And I think the beautiful thing of it is you don't have to find it all, and you can still have an awesome time, but I want to, like, the amount of care and attention to detail that goes into these games, and especially this one, I don't think it should be missed. You know? So I want to find it. I want to uncover all the mind-boggling shenanigans, and I'm going to be texting you and being like, what just happened? Why is this character here? What does this mean? Because you know this story better than anyone I know.
Yeah, here's something that happened to me while playing Control. So I finished the game. So now I have a lot of powers where it will allow me to go certain areas in the game that I couldn't go originally, right? So I'm there just finding places, finding hidden areas and everything. And I found this hidden area. It was really hard to get to. And I got it. Ah. I got up there. I started flying and all this stuff, right? So I get there and I'm walking around and I see like some items picking up. And I see this like, it's like a room. I walk to this room. Yo, Alan Wake popped up, him typing.
Oh.
And you see him like explain, like he's typing and he's reading what he's typing, right?
Oh.
Yo, Brittany.
Whoa.
Brittany, I got up, running around. Yo, what? Alan Wake? What? Like, I was just like excited because now, right there at that moment, I'm like, yo. I know Alan Wake 2 is gonna be. It's coming back. Like it's coming back. I waited for a very long time for this, man. Like I can't wait. That's the part that I just love about Remedy, that they have so many Easter eggs. Even if you're not a huge fan, you discover these Easter eggs, and it's gonna get you like even more curious about just the Remedy universe. So you want to just go out there and do more research about it, you know, certain things that I mentioned on this recording that now you're like, oh really, damn, now I gotta go back and try this out, you know what I'm saying? So that's the part that I'm very excited about, like not only playing these characters, especially Saga, brand new, right, now getting to know more about the story and just discovering new things in there. Because this is by far, and this is confirmed from the team, this is the longest game that they have right so far compared to like previous games. So it's going to be a very long time for me to like, okay, because there's so many things to do in here now. You know, like not only with you're playing two characters, but like story, voice actors, like the audio, everything is just longer now compared to like their previous games. So yeah. I'm very, very curious. Now, one last question. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me, but there's been the conversation of people bringing up like, oh, this is only digital, it's not physical. Do you see a problem with that? Because I really don't. I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. Maybe in the future they'll release a physical, but I'm okay with this so far.
Dude, like, that's a good point. Like, this game is $49.99. This isn't even that's also mind-blowing because, yeah, it's digital only. I mean, me personally, no, it doesn't. I don't care. I haven't honestly bought physical media in so long. You haven't seen to my house. Hopefully next time, like there's a PAX or something, you and Ree and baby can come over and see. But I'm running out of wall space, Danny. I don't have room for physical media anymore. I can't even keep up with all these collector's editions. So I stopped buying physical media a long time ago, probably around the Xbox 360 era. But I still have all of, like, my original stuff. So, no, like, it doesn't bother me. But, you know, then again, we do live in an area where, you know, it's not hard to download stuff like that for us. And I can see how that could be a pain for certain folks if they don't have the internet bandwidth or whatnot. But for me, like, I don't care. Like, I prefer digital at this point in my life. It's easier. And, like, listen, I would just lose all the discs anyway if I had one.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Look, either way, even if they release a physical version of Future, I'm ready to buy it. Like, I'm all in. Like, I'll only buy physical, but it's like very important games that I feel like has been important part of my life that I need to get it and just have it there, you know? So, but I don't buy every single game physical.
No.
Like, the majority. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say, would you say Alan Wake 2 is the most hyped you've been for a game release?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Ever?
Yes.
Ever. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Honestly, since because I was excited about Cyberpunk and then I got it. I'm like, And then years later, it got way better. But like, I'm talking about launch. Starfield I was more of like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Spider-Man, but this is my most anticipated game for me is Alan Wake 2. Like, there's nothing close to that at all.
Well, and you've been waiting for so long, and to see it come back, just like all cannons firing, you know, that's what's so exciting. I get some of that. I get like a vicarious, you know, I think about when Resident Evil 2 Remake was announced and released, you know, that was something that all of us, had, you know, Resident Evil fans had wanted for so long, and it finally came out and it knocked it out of the park. And I'm kind of getting that sense for you. I mean, Alan Wake, you know, I feel like I had a cult following. Did it do really well at launch? Do you remember?
I'll tell you this. I remember seeing the presentation at E3, and I didn't like it. I was like, man, what the hell is this? Is whatever. So I get an advanced copy of it, and I started playing, and I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing! Oh my, like, my mind was blown. Fast forward, I know there was people that bought the game. I don't remember the sales numbers at all.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I can't remember. But I know that there is a huge cult following that loves Remedy in general. They love Control, love Alan Wake, Quantum Break, and everything. So, and there's people that love Quantum Break. They're even more excited. And they're going to get more excited once they know now that there's going to be characters. Well, the actors from there is gonna also going to be in Alan Wake too. So I'm just excited. I think this is going to be a very fun year, especially for Remedy game fans.
Yeah, and I love that too. I'm looking on Wikipedia, and it says on March 13, 2012, Remedy announced the game had passed 2 million copies sold. And then the following month in 2015, Alan Wake had sold more than 3.2 million copies. So yeah, like, that's not an amount to sneeze at or anything like that. But I think it's awesome, you know, that Alan Wake came out, had that following. And then I think over the years, you know, Remedy has just proven that they're a top tier developer and they make some really cool stuff. And then, like, what if we revisit Alan Wake? And I think it makes so much sense. And I'm just thrilled for, like, obviously me, but more importantly, I think people like you, you know, who are just been wanting this for so long. I love that kind of stuff. And obviously, like, I'm very excited. I love what I've played.
I'm also excited for you to play it. Because the thing that I love the most, is when I see people that I've never play a game like this and they started playing for the first time. And like, let's say, I know you played Alan Wake and everything like that, right? The original, but I feel like this is going to get you so into the game, so much into the story that I think it's going to get you curious and you're going to go back and play the original Alan Wake. Maybe you're going to get you even more to get into Control and the other Remedy games. So you can see
that's
how
what
connected.
I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Because, you know, I never did finish the Alan Wake DLC. And I don't think I ever finished Control. I played a lot of Control, but never finished it. But now, you know, like, I think you hit the nail on the head. I love that interconnected shenanigans. And I think this is what's probably going to push me to go back and play some of those other ones. And just now that I'll have an idea of what's what, I think it'll mean a lot more.
Yeah, and there's not that many games that actually has that have that connected universe. It's not that many out there.
Exactly. There's like none. I'm trying to, well, I mean, I'm not going to say none, but I think of like the Yakuza games, but that's just one like simultaneous story, not simultaneous, but that's just one, you know, storyline, but it's not like there's multiple universes or anything. This is just kind of on another level here.
So wait, a Resident Evil Resident Evil. It's similar to Yakuza.
I mean,
right?
Resident Evil, yeah, it's like the
it's Yakuza all connected.
Range. Yeah, like, you know, they follow an order, right? But it's not like there's multiple universes, per se. Whereas this is definitely like a universe thing. So it's just so cool. It's really cool.
I can't wait. Well, Brittany, I just want to say thank you so much for taking your time. I know I was like, oh, Brittany, it's going to be short. And look, we talked.
Oh, I told you. I was going to be legit disappointed if we only talked for 20 to 30 minutes. Like, there's no way. I mean, we could honestly probably talk about this for another hour, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we could have been talking about this for a long time. But no, honestly, please let me know once you you want to talk more on What's Good Games. Like, I would love to join you and the girls, and we could talk about
literally, there's no one else that I can think of.
I'm very excited to do this one. So. But yeah, Brittany, anything else you want to promote? Your you know, socials, podcasts, anything else?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Blonde Nerd. Again, the What's Good Games podcast releases every Friday. And, you know, if you want to help me give Paris Lily some crap, you can help me by finding me on Twitter and telling him how amazing Resident Evil is.
Yeah. And also, I know you always call them all about Banjo-Kazooie. So.
Oh, Banjo, like, rip Banjo, man. Like, that's a broken-ass Banjo. Like, someone needs to take a gif of a Banjo and smashing it upside Banjo-Kazooie's freaking head. Excuse me.
Oh, it's all good.
I get all sorts of hot and bothered when I talk about this. I feel so passionate about that man's bad takes. I can't handle it. I saw him at the Alan Wake event, and it took everything in my body not to smack him upside the head.
Oh,
but
my God.
It's pointless. Pointless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
don't do physical violence. It's not worth it.
No violence. Stop the violence. Stop the violence.
Stop the violence against Paris's bad takes.
Yeah. All right. One shout out to Brittany and the whole What's Good Games family. So, guys, so right now I'm going to play an interview with the legend himself, Sam Lake. Woo-hoo. 101 interview. We sat down. We talked a lot about the game. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. And once we come back, I also have a special segment sponsored by NVIDIA. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. And once again, we have Sam Lake here, and we're going to be talking about Alan Wake 2. Sam, once again, I know I got to see you at Summer Game Fest. Great conversation. One of my favorite interviews I did that during that time. Great conversation about the game. How you doing, man? I know it's getting close to the release of the game.
It's both wonderful and nerve-wracking, and also there is an element of exhaustion, like such a long road, so much work has gone into this, and the final stretch is always a bit of a crazy rush, bugs to fix, polish to be done.
Yeah.
It is great to be able to show this now to people, and the reception has been very, very positive. That's also really, really important to the team back home, still kind of like needing to keep on working on it.
Yeah.
A boost of energy for sure.
I noticed because I also got the opportunity to play the game and everything. So I played with Saga, also with Alan. Very different than the first game. But at the same time, it made me take my time, read the stuff that I discovered. It's very different than the first one. The first one, I would just go to the location, get the items, and then relay later.
Yeah,
this one you have to read there at the moment. So why the change? Why you wanted to make this very different than the first game?
Well, 13 years in between. It's a long time. Video games have evolved. We as the makers have changed. A lot of experience, a lot of learnings along the way, and a lot of bend up, build up ambition for this, trying to make this happen, and now finally being able to do it. We wanted to be really ambitious with interactive storytelling, really, really have a focus on the story and bring it clearly closer to gameplay as well. Having mechanics like, you know, Saga's investigation, Alan's rewriting reality having them be actual, like they're very much you engaging with the story, but it's also gameplay. So you are actively doing things related to the story. And that ambition was there. I don't like it is different, and yet I do feel that this is very much a Remedy game, and there are many kind of like elements from the world of original Alan Wake that is still very much present in this.
So, I mean, one of the first things that happened to me while just walking around, I went to the bar right at the beginning of the game of the demo. I saw the janitor there from Control. What's up with that? What's up with that? whatever you could say about it, I can
talk about it for sure.
Sure.
Obviously, like if in Control you complete all of Ahti janitor side missions, as a reward you get a postcard from him. At this point, he's already gone from the oldest house because he wants to go for his summer vacation.
Sure.
And he disappears. And then you get a postcard, and that postcard says, "Greetings from Watery, Washington, America's Little Finland." Mm-hmm. And he is on a porch of sauna, you know, having a towel around his waist, drinking a bottle of beer. So that was a promise that we are delivering on. Now, we already established in first Alan Wake that Watery is the neighboring town to Bright Falls. Mm-hmm. And in this one, we do discover that Watery was founded a century earlier by Finnish immigrants over logging and fishing industry, which is an echo of reality. There are these places in the Pacific Northwest. So a lot of these connections to Finland and Finnish culture more than before, but also like maybe it's the added years making me feel nostalgic, and also realizing that we, like in Finnish culture, we have a lot of things that you know are not globally known but are really unique and exotic that we can tap into. So yeah, Ahti makes a comeback here. This is a Remedy connected universe, connecting Alan Wake and Control. They are part of the same world, so they are present. These elements are present in this. Ahti has an interesting role to play in this experience. Not going to spoil anything, but you will find him in surprising places.
Yeah, I notice when I'm walking around the town and I start talking to people, they're very different than the first time I got there playing as Alan Wake. What happened during that time that a lot of them very, very different, very weird act? It's not like the enemies, you know, you attack with the flashlight, but they act very, very different now. You know, is something happened between part one and now that the people in the town has changed around that time or no?
13 years is, yeah, a long time. Things change. Obviously, in the first game, we never visited Watery. This part that you were playing takes place in Watery, Saga coming there for the first time to discover the place. I feel that kind of spiritually, the idea of quirky small town setting with these kind of very colorful personalities of different kinds was part of the first game and for sure is part of this. But it's some of them are the same characters, some of them are very different characters, and when it's the same characters, it's still 13 years of life in between. So things have changed. Yeah.
Now, while playing now Alan Wake, I got to see a lot of posters of a couple things I noticed. One was Scratch, a lot of graffiti of Scratch everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And also posters of Alex Casey. So It was, I got to see that a lot in the game. Why is it so important to see that from Alan Wake's point of view and not from Saga?
Well, Alan Wake is trapped in the dark place. And dark place is kind of this dream reality or nightmare reality. And we do establish very fast that Alan Wake being there and having been there for a long time, he is affecting the reality intentionally and unintentionally around him. Mm-hmm. So he used to live in New York City. For years and years, he wrote Alex Casey books set in New York City. Mm-hmm. And now the dark place around him takes the shape of this nightmare New York City. Very much it is psychological horror, and the idea is that it's almost like his thoughts and his fears, and most definitely the fiction he is creating, is affecting his surroundings. So how you should be approaching it is that everything has a meaning. Everything seems to be coming from him. You know, Alex Casey is his creation, so Alex Casey is haunting this city in many ways. He fears his dark double scratch. Scratch is present in many ways around him. Mm-hmm. So we set out to create an experience. Well, graffiti, posters, signs, everything has a meaning and everything is talking about his mind.
So one of my co-hosts, Paris, I know he asked this question. So earlier during the panel, for those that just started playing or they forgot because it's been so long playing the first game, are there going to be a way where they could learn the lore of these characters that I just mentioned right now?
Yeah.
For them to get up to date, like, okay, I get it now, what's going on? Or do they have to start playing as Saga to find out everything out with the villains, you know, as Alan Wake?
Yeah, the experience starts with you playing as Saga. That's the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Once you proceed far enough, then we'll open up Alan Wake's side in the dark place. So the idea very much is there that Saga as a character doesn't know anything about the supernatural background or history in this world. Mm-hmm. But she's a fast learner, and players are fast learners as well. So together with Saga, you will learn and go through the basics of the setup. And only then kind of we will dip you into the craziness around Alan Wake.
Yeah.
This is self-contained enough that you don't need to know anything. You can go in, you can enjoy it, you can understand it. That's kind of one of the fundamental design things. Like a good analogy of this is that if you think about Control, and Federal Bureau of Control investigating all of these crazy things in the world, and you find these case files of these different events. Some of these case files are about Alan Wake. And in that case, if you have played Alan Wake, you go like, oh, it's talking about that thing, and I get it, and I know a lot of it. Many of them we just invented specifically for Control. And then when you read these case files, you are not lost. You are like, oh, that's a fascinating concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to learn more about this someday. But for now, like, I got these, you know, ideas and I'm moving on. I think that is a good example of connected universe in the sense that in this sequel, Alan Wake 2, you will find details that are pointing towards Control, pointing towards the original Alan Wake, but they are self-contained enough that you get like, oh, that's a cool idea. I don't know what kind of is behind it. I enjoyed it on its own and I'm moving on. But for the returning fans coming back in, there is suddenly a whole added world of meaning to these things, and suddenly even some new information on, like, I never thought about that from this perspective. That's really interesting. And kind of like, of course, you can go and play Alan Wake Remastered, play Control, you know, just go crazy. Mm-hmm. You won't maybe have time to do that before we release this game. But I think it works just the same. If you play this, if you love it, then you can go back to those earlier games and find out what these things were all about.
Yeah, see, like when I play with Saga, the demo, I noticed that there was things that were very new to me, but with Alan, it's stuff that I related to that, right? So my last question is, how do you guys manage to balance that out for like the newcomers and also the hardcore fans to understand the story and learn new things about both characters and new stuff that we haven't never discovered from the first game?
Yeah, it is a balancing act. This is a new story as a whole. This is a new story. It goes forward. It doesn't really dwell on our previous games. It does connect to them, mm-hmm. but we are advancing, and that's the main thing. And Alan Wake side might feel like it kind of like is deeper into that lore, but how we take you to the beginning of Alan Wake's experience, we actually cover quite a lot of these basics there as well, mm-hmm. From the get-go. And then you are ready to kind of go forward.
Yeah. Sam, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I love the demo. Very different than the first game, but the thing that I love about this game is, like, I'm taking my time. Now I'm reading, because the first one, it was more, I'm just moving.
An action game.
Yeah.
This is a horror experience.
Horror game, yeah.
Slower pace.
But also mystery, too.
Yes.
Yes.
There is a lot of mystery.
Yeah, yes. But great job, and I can't wait to play the full game, man. So
Thank you.
I can't wait. All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to continue here at Gamertag Radio, and I hope you guys are enjoying our Alan Wake 2 hands-on impression and also my interview with Sam Lake. But first, we have a sponsor segment here from NVIDIA. So, Paris, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about this segment, man.
Yes, this is a sponsored segment with NVIDIA GeForce. And if you've known in the past when we've had sponsored segments with NVIDIA GeForce, it's been with a lot of their new technology that they're bringing to their RTX line, the RTX 40 series GPUs. So the latest one is DLSS 3.5 versus what they've done in the past with DLSS 3 mm-hmm. and path tracing. So, Danny, you might be asking yourself, well, what the hell is DLSS 3.5? Why is this different than DLSS 3? So,
well, you put him on the spot. But no, can I say something real quick?
Yes. Yes.
So, I've been enjoying playing, you know, all the way with Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. I think that's the one where you could actually see the major difference with DLSS 3.5, correct?
Yes, this is the first Cyberpunk.
Of many.
Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty, the new expansion that's come out. This is the first game that is taking advantage of DLSS 3.5. They partnered up with CD Projekt Red to get that implemented into the game.
Yep. Just want to say that very quick, but go ahead.
So, yeah, and real quick, and I'm going to run through this. Like I said, this is a sponsored segment. So I do want to say this part right off the top, being a sponsored segment with NVIDIA GeForce. So if you want to get the ultimate Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty experience enhanced with full ray tracing for the most immersive graphics and unmatched performance, you're going to want to go with DLSS 3.5 powered by a GeForce RTX 40 series GPU. And the reason I say all that is because DLSS 3.5 is doing something new with ray reconstruction. And I'm going to get into that in just a second. So kind of give you the backstory on DLSS. So like we talked last time with DLSS 3, they now do frame generation, basically filling in the gaps with AI powered frames to allow you to have more frames per second in the games that you play. That's in a nutshell what is happening with DLSS 3. Now, when you bring this into DLSS 3.5, here's the big difference with ray reconstruction. So what's happening right now is when you do ray tracing in a game, even more specifically the path tracing, or AKA the full ray tracing that you'll see in something like Cyberpunk 2077, every image that is ray traced in Cyberpunk 2077 using DLSS 3.5 is having what's, it's called denoising. It's called a denoiser. That's what happened. Basically, you're taking an image and you're upscaling its image quality. And you're, because what's happening is, like, I play at 4K, right? Let's just say, because again, part of DLSS is it's taking a lower resolution image and it's upgrading it. So say I'm taking something from 1440p and I'm upscaling it to 4K. That's kind of what's happening with DLSS, right? And you're, the image that you're seeing is in 4K. There's obviously stuff happening on the back end with DLSS to hit that resolution and to improve the frames per second performance. So with DLSS 3.5, you're taking these denoisers. What used to happen is this was all hand-tuned denoisers. But now with 3.5, these denoisers are being, they're being AI powered with neural renderers, right? And you're getting five times more data than you would have with DLSS 3 with 3.5. So it is actually improving the image quality even more so than it was during DLSS 3. And again, let's keep this a buck. Cyberpunk 2077 was already looking amazing with DLSS 3. I think in the path tracing and everything that you were doing, no one was looking at it side-eyed and questioning the image quality of Cyberpunk 2077. And you can co-sign this too, Danny. I'm tell you right now, first time I saw it running with the path tracing in 3.5, I go, these visuals are improved. I could tell the second I saw it, because that says how much of an improvement that is doing. It is doing unprecedented levels of visual fidelity and quality with doing these AI powered, like I said, denoisers that's happening now with the neural renders. So now, path tracing was already a thing in the game, but now you, not only are you improving the image quality that's ray traced, but you're also improving performance over what we were already getting with DLSS 3. So as an example, I'm using RTX 4090. I'm playing at 4K. I have everything maxed out. I have the overdrive mode, which is the full ray tracing and Cyberpunk 2077 enabled. Again, doing everything with DLSS, the frame generation, all of that, NVIDIA Reflex is on, global illumination, everything is maxed out. Mm-hmm. I'm still averaging around 100 frames per second. Oof. With that at 4K with an RTX 4090. It's insane. It's insanity. And like I said, one of the most visually impressive. Now, I ain't even going to say one of anymore. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to just go ahead and just put it out there. This is the most visually impressive game that I've seen.
Hands down.
With DLSS 3.5, with path tracing, AKA full ray tracing enabled using the overdrive mode, this is the most visually impressive video game that I've ever played, because you're in that open world of Night City in the new location of Dogtown. And just the way that CD Projekt Red is using lighting in this game on so many different weather, from the most simplest puddle to the biggest, giantest billboard that you'll see in Night City, just lit up at night. Even the daytime light ray trace reflections that you're seeing are just, they're so impressive. And you can switch DLSS off. You can switch the ray tracing off and look at it. It's like night and day. It really is, from a performance standpoint and from an image quality standpoint. So kudos to NVIDIA GeForce, to continue working on DLSS, because they could have, honestly, they could have just rested on their laurels with DLSS 3. It was quote unquote good enough. Nobody was complaining with DLSS 3. You were seeing more and more games starting to utilize DLSS 3 more, so much so, like, let's take a game like Starfield that did not have it at launch. People were up in arms. Well, why the hell doesn't have DLSS? What the hell are we doing? Why don't we have that? Because now DLSS, more specifically DLSS 3 and now 3.5, has set such an industry standard with image quality and performance. Look, I know there's people out there that go, hey, it's creating fake frames. I don't like the fake frames that it's creating. Let me tell you this. It look good to me. That's all I know. It look.
Can I say something?
Go ahead. Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Paris, and you see my monitor, my ultra wide screen.
Yes.
It looks amazing. It looks amazing.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It looks sick, bro. It looks so sick. I feel like I'm in the game.
Yes.
I feel like I'm in the game. It's that good. It's that good.
No, it really is. It really is. And again, I think people, look, it's been a long journey. It's been a long 3 years with Cyberpunk, from the way that it launched to where we are here today with Phantom Liberty in 2023. And the fact that CD Projekt Red and NVIDIA did not give up on this game. They continue to work on it. They continue to iterate it. It has been the poster child for everything that we've seen from NVIDIA GeForce the past 3 years. Just when they introduced, because remember, this came out when the RTX 3080 cards were coming out, right? This was kind of launched around the same time as those, to see it go from that iteration when the 3080 came out to then the 40 series now with the 4080 and the 4090 cards. And during that time, we went from DLSS 2 to DLSS 3. Now we're at DLSS 3.5. And they've started to, and again, it was the poster child for path tracing as well. We've seen other games like Portal and things like that start to use path tracing too. But Cyberpunk was the first one to integrate path tracing into their game. And again, it's just a visual showcase. So to the point I was making before, sure, there are detractors out there that go, oh, it's fake frames, this isn't real. Oh, it's upscaling the resolution, this isn't real 4K. I don't care. It looked good to me. That's all I know. It looks good. It plays good. I'm getting high frames in it. I'm having an enjoyable time with it. And again, you go out and get one of these RTX cards, and I mean, they're tanks. As it is, whether you get a 4080, you get a 4070, obviously the 4090 right now is at the top of the mountain, but the performance that you're getting out of these RTX cards, you know, from frames per second, like I said, being able to utilize things like DLSS 3.5 now, integrating the full ray tracing, the path tracing, which gaming visuals are just starting to go to a next level. And like I said, this being the first game that's using DLSS 3.5, this is kind of showing you the potential of where visuals are going to go moving forward, right? And whether, say what you want about DLSS, I'm a fan of it. I think what NVIDIA has been doing over the past few years has just been industry leading in that aspect. And yes, this is a sponsor segment. I get it, right? We're talking about it, but it's the truth. Whether this was sponsored or not, I'm saying exactly what I'm saying right now. When I go to play a game, now forget Cyberpunk, but any game I go to play, that's why I brought up the Starfield example a second ago. If it doesn't have DLSS in it, I'm like, oh man, because I know that's going to unlock the full potential of this game from a performance standpoint and potentially from an image quality standpoint, because not only the horsepower that you're getting with the RTX cards themselves, just some of the AI muscle that's happening on the back end that NVIDIA has implemented, you know, with some of their driver updates and obviously work we're talking with DLSS, is just all about increasing performance and increasing image quality. And that's what we want. And
also, you know, I know people are going to think, oh, do I need to get this experience? Do I need the Phantom Liberty? No, you could get the base game. Make sure it's up to date, right, with the latest update, 2.0. And you will get to see this, all these features in there in the game. So, but yeah, Paris, I think, you know, the more I've been talking to you and Peak, and look, I was like, you know, I still am. I play console, right? But, you know, I didn't know a lot about PC gaming, and the more I got to learn more about the cards and things, the features you could do in there, stuff that you only could do in PC, you can't do it on console, bro. It's been like a game changer, you know, from someone that's coming from console to PC, you know. So I and even last week during our conversation, we talked about that during our review of Phantom Liberty, you know, we talked about that, and that was not a sponsored segment at all. That was like straight up.
Yeah, this is what we thought of the game. And again, anyone listening to this, if you missed our review of Phantom Liberty, you can go back and listen to that. And I was also talking about the week before that with Pete and I, we talked about the 2.0 update for Cyberpunk 2077 as well, which, to Danny's point, you do not need to purchase Phantom Liberty, the expansion, to be able to take advantage of what NVIDIA is doing with DLSS 3.5. The 2.0 update itself will take full advantage of this, and you can jump into Night City and go have fun.
Yeah, and if you have a ultra wide screen, please let me know, because man, Paris, I think you need to upgrade one of these.
Nope. I likes me 4K the way it is. I'm not upgrading. But trust me, I've been to your house. I've seen it. Like, you know, Gary Witta as well. He just went and got an ultra wide. I mean, it's impressive. Trust me. But I like my setup as it is. I ain't messing with a good thing. So I'm not going to do it.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. Anything else, Paris? Anything else from this?
Again, I do want to thank NVIDIA GeForce for the opportunity to let us get hands on early with DLSS 3.5, take it for a test drive so we could talk about it here today. Again, this is a sponsored segment. So I want to make that crystal clear. This is sponsored by NVIDIA GeForce. But hey, I'm just telling you now, sponsored or not, this is impressive technology that they're doing. I will be amazed to see what comes after 3.5, because every time they do something, I'm like, well, this is it. They can't get it better than this. And they keep, you know, pushing it even further. So if you are, again, looking for immersive graphics, just impressive image quality, impressive performance, you know, grab yourself an RTX 40 series GPU and take advantage of all these games that are going to start coming out that are using DLSS 3.5.
Definitely, man. I just want to say thank you to NVIDIA for sponsoring this segment. And guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. And thank you for supporting us throughout the years. And look, I had a great time chatting with Sam Lake about Alan Wake. And shout out also to Paris Fingers for making a short cameo in our interview. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you,
Paris. Let's be clear about something. Because you didn't bring the memory card to the normal camera. They got the stand and all that kind of stuff. I volunteered. You always say I'm mean, but I volunteered. I was like, hey, you love this game. You love this series. I don't need to interview Sam. You interview Sam one-on-one, and I will hold your phone and be the cameraman. And you see how long that interview was. I want to see y'all hold it that long without getting a little tired in my finger. If half a second popped in. So thank me. How about that?
It's all good. It's all good. But everyone, thank you for listening to here at Gamertag Radio. And we're going to be out here until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.